What's going on, everybody? This is the Crystal Ball Run podcast, our first podcast of the brand new year. And, of course, what better time to start that than at the end of the college football season? I'm Kevin McGuire, joined today on the phone by our good friend Aaron Torres. Aaron, how's it going, my man?
Kevin, thank you for having me. Can't believe that this season is already over, but a fantastic finish, fantastic year. Really enjoyed it. And looking forward to a sunny day and spring ball and all those other things that we have just looked forward to in the next couple weeks and months.
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron, it's been so long since we've podcasted. The season did kind of fly by, and our podcast kind of got sideways along the way. So hopefully we can start fresh in the new year and keep this going. Just to remind everybody that is listening, you can actually subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Make sure you check out Crystal Ball Run at crystalballrun.com. Follow us on Twitter at Crystal Ball Run. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/crystalballrun. Now that we've got all that out of the way, Aaron, we have to talk about that BCS championship game. You know, we're not going to talk about the X's and O's so much, but it was a fitting way, I think, for the BCS era to come to a close. Give me your initial impressions as Florida State is your national champion for the 2013 season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really was. There are a few variables here. One, Chris Fowler said it really well in the post-game coverage in that the BCS era opened with Florida State losing to an SEC team, and it closed with them kind of coming full circle and beating an SEC team. So you have that. You have two teams from the southeast part of the country, part of the country that really dominated college football during the BCS era, and then kind of just great game. Two highly competitive teams. I think it spoke to the type of season we had this year, where offense ended up being the story in the game. Florida State probably had the most talented defense in college football. I don't want to say the best because Michigan State fans will get upset with me, but a really talented group. And but at the end of the day, it was really the offense that had to go out there and win it for them. Certainly, obviously, Florida State played much better in the second half in terms of defensively. So I don't want to take anything away from them in that regard, but I think it's fitting in so many regards, seeing Florida State return to prominence as a college football power. Two great games, two great teams, two kind of traditional powers. It was a perfect ending, I think. And of course, we had one of the better games, in the BCS championship that we had over the last year. So again, as you said, I think it's fitting, and it was a fun game for sure.
You really could not ask for too much more than the setting that we got. Obviously, Florida State goes into the game. Number one, they dominated from start to finish this season. And then the big question was, how are they going to handle any dose of adversity? I think they handled it pretty well. They were down 21-3 in the second quarter, and they come back to win 34-31 is the final score. Of course, your Heisman Trophy freshman quarterback, Jameis Winston, on his last two possessions of the season, leads his team downfield for scores that gave him the lead and really brought him within reach at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Obviously, there was the kickoff return that was mixed in there as well. Wild way for the season to end, and now we're all looking forward to seeing what happens next going into the 2014 season. Like I said, we're not going to really break down the X's and O's. We really want to touch about the big stories here. The SEC finally loses a BCS championship game. Are we to make too much of that? It seems like that's been a hot topic on the Twitter sphere in the last 24 hours. Personally, I don't think the SEC is going away, Aaron.
I'm actually looking over it now. I think those are actually the first BCS championship games that the SEC lost, which is fascinating to me. I hadn't really thought about that until you just mentioned it right there. No, I don't think the SEC is going anywhere. It's really interesting. I'm hearing, we're recording this on Tuesday. I think, you're going to probably post it up on Wednesday. And, a lot of conversation about where the SEC ranks. And I think it was really interesting because I was in the stadium Monday night. And, I think that there really was, when Auburn went up 21-3, as you said, that belief of, here we go again. Here's the SEC. They've been here before. They're unafraid. And so, to get back to the game for a sec, that's why I give Florida State credit more than anything for coming back, was because, as you mentioned, they hadn't faced adversity all season long, really. And then to come back under that adversity against an SEC team, I think it left little doubt that they were the best team in the country, and that, as good as the SEC was, that great football is being played in other places in the country as well. I think for a little while now, the whole SEC bias has kind of been a little bit overplayed in the media. I think there certainly have been years where the SEC has been far away the best conference in college football. You know, I look back 2 years ago when LSU and Alabama played for the title. As bad of a championship game as it was, I don't think there's any doubt that those were the two best teams in college football that year. You know, there have been other years, but I do think that the bias has been a little bit unfair to a lot of really good programs across the country. You know, with a few different breaks, I think Oregon could have won a championship here or there. USC had some great runs during the middle part of the BCS era, same with Miami in the early part. So I think the SEC bias is a little bit unfair. I'd be curious for your take on where the conference stands. I think they're still the best conference top to bottom, in and out, year in and year out. I thought that this year maybe the Pac-12 had surpassed them on a one-year deal, and we'll kind of see where things go from here. But I don't know. I'm just curious to hear what your take is because there's so many variables in all this.
Well, one of the things I've said all season is the SEC is still number one to me, but the gap is not as wide as it once was over the last couple of years. That gap has been closed a little bit.
Do you think the SEC was better than the Pac-12 this year?
I think if they were to face head-to-head, you know, if you line them up from top to bottom, I might give the edge to the SEC overall, and I think that that's probably going to be the case really against any other conference as well. I think the Pac-12 is a clear number two, but I don't know if they're a 1B to an SEC's 1A just yet.
What I would say to that is, I've gotten in this argument quite a bit. I actually think it's the opposite. I think the top to bottom, I thought the Pac-12 was better. I don't know that they had one team at the top that could have beaten Auburn or beaten Alabama when they got it rolling. You know, maybe Stanford could have competed. Mm-hmm. I'm not as high on Oregon as a lot of people, are at this time of the year. So, but I start looking down that list. You know, Arizona State's a really good team at number three. UCLA, USC had a good run there. Oregon State, you know, the thing, I said this in the middle of the season, people didn't like it, but as Auburn started making their run, people forget that Auburn almost lost to Washington State, which I think most people would consider to be probably the ninth or tenth best team in the Pac-12. They almost lost them at home in the opening week. And granted, you can't really compare Auburn in September to Auburn at the end of December, but the fact remains that I think a lot of good football was played in the Pac-12 this year. I tend to agree with you that I think overall, I think the edge still goes to the SEC, but I do think in this one particular year that I think it was more so the Pac-12 this year than the SEC. I think it's a kind of a fluid situation. You know, over time, I think the SEC, the cream is rising to the top, but I do think that this year, the edge will go to the Pac-12.
Yeah, and like I said, I really like where the Pac-12 is heading. I like all the coaches that they have in that mix, and of course, adding Chris Peterson now, that's going to be really interesting to watch. I'm a fan of the Pac-12. I stay up late to watch those games for a reason, and it's because they're really entertaining. For me right now, obviously we'll have this discussion, I'm sure, a number of times in the offseason, but to me, still, the SEC is number one. Pac-12 is a solid number two, and then after that, who knows, whatever order you want to come up with. You got to say, the ACC has had a really good BCS season, going 2-0 in the BCS games, obviously the Florida State winning the championship, Clemson beating Ohio State, and this was actually one of the more disappointing BCS seasons for the SEC, because both Alabama and Auburn come up on the wrong end of things, and I don't remember the last time that the SEC had a BCS season like this, if they ever had. I don't know if they had. So it's also kind of ironic that you see your last four BCS champions come up with the two losses for the SEC.
Yeah, no, and it's funny because as somebody who went to a Big East school and kind of saw school, you know, now the AAC, and kind of saw the ACC kind of continue to rate the conference of its best teams, what I would add is, you know, it's really about time for the ACC. I mean, it's been quite a while since they've really had anything to show for the BCS bowl games, while teams like Central Florida this year, Louisville last year, West Virginia in the past, continue to overachieve in BCS bowl games. It was kind of the ACC that was kind of bottom feeding. So all I would say is that, it's about time that the ACC stepped up. But, in terms of the ACC, I thought it was a solid year. Duke finishing, I think, in the top 25 for the first time since, I want to say, 1961, maybe. And I think Miami's a program to watch kind of going forward. They're going to be fun. And to your point, Florida State and Clemson kind of proved to be two of the better programs anywhere in college football this year, and I think that's only going to continue going forward.
Well, generally, one of the questions I'd like to ask people immediately following a championship game, and really any sport, is which team has the better shot at getting back to the championship game next year? Of course, this is going to be a little bit of a different take on it this year because we're no longer using the BCS formula. We're going to have a four-team playoff starting next year. And to me personally, I look at both Florida State and Auburn, and I'm thinking that they're each set up pretty well to make a run for at least one of those spots. What do you think this college football playoff format is going to do to change the game, if anything, or are we really just going to, you know, continue the debate over which four teams are supposed to be in this?
Well, what I've said all along is, for people that think that the debate ends with four, you're out of your mind. And, you know, you look at this year, I mean, this year's a perfect example. You know, you have a one-loss Michigan State team that really did, you know, we can all agree that Auburn and Florida State were number one and number two. But after that, you have a one-loss Michigan State team that really didn't beat anybody until the last week of the season. You've got a two-loss Stanford team that won what I just, you know, claimed was the toughest conference in college football. Others might disagree. And you have a one-loss Alabama team that didn't win its own division, didn't win its own conference. So that, to me, is what's fascinating is I don't think that the debate ends just because we go to four teams. What I do think, though, is that most people are going to have a lot less sympathy for number five than they will number three. I mean, if in this year Alabama or Michigan State or Stanford, any of those teams got left out, I don't think anyone can really stand up on a pedestal and really trumpet that these teams absolutely deserve to be in a playoff. And I think you and I and a lot of people would probably agree that most people thought Alabama was maybe the third best team in college football after the regular season. That was proven probably to be somewhat incorrect in bowl season. So the only reason I bring this up is I'm really curious. I think that the selection committee is a great thing. I've been in favor of the selection committee since the beginning. But I also think that they're going to have some very tough choices ahead of them. And like I said, I really don't think that just because we are now in an era where there is now four teams instead of two competing for the championship that we're beyond debate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we're always going to have debate about which team should be in any format. And you're a real big college basketball guy, so you would know this as well as anybody. You know, 64 teams sometimes isn't enough for some schools, or I guess 65 teams, 68 teams, whatever the number is these days. There's always going to be that one extra team that says, oh, we should have been in over this team. So that's certainly not going to end with the adoption of the college football playoff. And
But what I would add to that is, and I think it was kind of just the point that I just made, is that in college basketball, like if you're team number 69, like you really don't have a complaint. Like you had a chance at some point in the season, you know, to do something that was good enough to make you one of those 68 teams. And I think in general, that's going to happen in college football as well. Now, I think where it gets interesting is, and I don't know the exact numbers, and I haven't looked that much into it yet, and, you know, I'm sorry for doing this off the top of my head. Okay. Where it would get interesting is if this year, if a Northern Illinois had finished undefeated, or if a Fresno had finished undefeated, both teams did not look all that good in bowl season, I might add. Specifically, Fresno, when they were faced against, you know, kind of a power conference team. So I think that is where it's going to get interesting going forward, is more so not in, like, who's better, the Pac-12 champ or the Big Ten champ, because I think everybody's going to kind of say, look, Stanford, you have two losses. You know, you can't really make a claim. Or Michigan State, you beat one really good team all year. You don't really have a claim, you know. I think it's going to be, if a Northern Illinois finishes undefeated, but we're sitting here watching Alabama just roll through everybody else, how do they fit into the picture? And so I think that's where it's going to be more interesting. And I think in general, in terms of the power conferences, I think it's going to be a lot like what I was just saying about college basketball in terms of, look, if you're Stanford with two losses, we'd love to give you our championship, you know, playoff, but you had two chances to get it right and you didn't do it. So I think that to me is going to be what's interesting. And you know, I think much like the BCS in its early days, it's going to take some fine-tuning and tweaking. And, you know, obviously it's a little bit different with the selection committee versus computers. But, you know, it's going to be a process like everything else is to kind of, you know, figure out exactly what we're looking for and how we're looking to get there.
Maybe this is a question that we should probably revisit in the coming months once we have more time to let it all soak in. But when you look at back at the BCS as a whole, you know, do you think it was a success?
I do, and I've been saying that for a long time now. You know, I get into this debate. You know, the thing is, Kevin, you know this because you cover the sport like I do, is there are a lot of people that are casual college football fans or don't really pay attention until the championship game that like to chime in and talk about how bad the BCS is and depth of the BCS and thank goodness it's gone. You know, the BCS's only job, ultimately, from day one, hour one, minute one, was to put the two best teams on the field. And I still think that when you look at that, for example, that it still did its job. Now, there were years, there's certainly, you know, the team that comes to mind is Auburn in 2004. You know, there were years where you could have made a case for somebody else. You know, I think that the cases to be made for somebody else are fewer and farther in between than people realize. I mean, I think, you know, maybe Miami one year before they won the championship, I believe it was 2001 when Florida State played Oklahoma. And then you go through and Auburn the year after. There are a few cases to be made that the BCS got it wrong. But I really think you look over the past 6-7 years, it's hard to argue that there was one team that egregiously deserved it that got left out. And what I would go back to again is that the only job of the BCS was to put 1 versus 2 on the field. And so when you look at the alternative and you look at what we had before the BCS, it really isn't all that bad. I mean, listen, if the BCS wasn't in place and we went back to the old system, and I know a lot of people that are listening to this are probably about the age of you and I and maybe don't have a great memory of the old system, but if the old system was in place, you know what? Auburn would have played in the Sugar Bowl last night, Florida State would have played in the Orange Bowl, and we'd be sitting here today, who's better, you know, who's this, who's that, could Florida State have beaten an SEC team, and we wouldn't have known, you know? And so, again, I'm not saying it's a perfect system. I'm not saying that the flaws weren't kind of worked out over time. But I think I speak for a lot of college football fans, a lot of people that really know this sport and understand this sport and don't kind of fly in at the end of the season to criticize it. They know that the BCS is a lot better of an alternative than I think most people realize.
I know you're well-versed in a whole bunch of sports, so you probably understand what I'm talking about, but every postseason format among the major sports, as far as I'm concerned, has some kind of flaw. I'm not entirely on board with the one-game playoff in baseball. I think it's somewhat silly that a team with a losing record can make the playoffs in the NBA. You know, you can look at every sport, and there's going to be something that's wrong with it. And college football is no different, but that doesn't mean that the grand logic behind it doesn't work. And I think what you're saying is right. The BCS was designed to put the two best teams in the championship game. And now this college football playoff is going to be tasked with a similar mission, which is to get the four best teams in a playoff format. So our philosophy is not really changing. The format's changing, but the overall goal is still going to be the same. And I, for one, I'm looking forward to see how it all plays out. You know, we'll talk about that once we get closer to the next season, I'm sure. Aaron, we're still kind of... Go ahead.
No, I was going to add a couple really quick things. Sure. One, I think you're totally right on every playoff system being flawed. I mean, look at last weekend where, you know, it didn't really end up mattering because of the way the game shook out, but a Saints team which went, what, 11-5 was going to play to face your Philadelphia Eagles, my boy Chip Kelly. But it's like, what did Philly do to... Because Philly played in a mediocre division, they get the advantage of playing at the home field just because of that. You know, and then you look at San Francisco, which is arguably the hottest team in the NFL. And again, I don't claim to understand the NFL like I do college ball, but like that team had to go to Green Bay, and it worked out that they won. Right. But it's like, why does Green Bay get home? Green Bay was a half a game above 500. Why do they get home field advantage? You know, so I totally agree with you that every system is flawed. And I think really, at the end of the day, in a lot of ways, college football has the best system because it's the best two teams. You don't take in variables like weather or, you know, as you said in baseball, you know, one game determining a 162-game season. And then the fact that it still protects the integrity of the regular season, which I think that you and I have talked about over and over and over again, but it's worth, you know, mentioning again, again, and again. If college football is the best regular season, and the fact that it's been helped a lot by the BCS and having an 8 or a 16-team playoff, that sounds great on paper to people that don't understand college football, but it changes what makes this sport so great. So, to me, we've already touched on it. We don't need to get into it any further, but those were my last 2 points kind of on the BCS as we say goodbye to it. Is that it wasn't as bad as we think. It's not going to be as bad as we remember it in 10 or 20 years from now. And it gave us a definitive champion, you know, I would say, basically every year without affecting the integrity of the regular season, which I think is what all college football fans want.
Well, Aaron, we only have a few more minutes before we got to wrap this up. But before we do that, I want to give you a chance, looking back on the 2013 season, you can include the bowl games if you want. What was the biggest surprise, the biggest disappointment? What was your favorite story or theme to follow along the way doing what you were doing over at Fox Sports 1?
I think the obvious surprise was Auburn. I mean, I was one that thought they were going to be pretty good. I just thought that, you know, everyone talked about new coaching staff, this and that. It's like basically every kid on that roster, specifically on the offense, was recruited to play in Gus Malzahn's system. So to me, I didn't think they were going to be that bad. I thought, like I said, I thought 8-4 was their ceiling. I thought they would get 6-6 and go bowling. Had no idea they were going to play for a championship. And, you know, I think most Auburn fans would agree with me. So to me, they were the most pleasant surprise. You know, I really enjoyed watching Baylor. I saw them in the Holiday Bowl in person last year, and I was on them all offseason. Like, this team's going to be really good. I think they're going to win the Big 12 again. Didn't think they were going to go 11-1, kind of beat all those traditional powers, you know, embarrass Oklahoma, embarrass Texas. You know, I didn't think they were going to be that good. So, I mean, those are some of the pleasant surprises. You know, in terms of disappointments, I mean, I don't know that any of the teams I was disappointed in, you know, are disappointing by their own doing. You know, I thought that Georgia, I just feel bad for Georgia because I think they were built to maybe win a title. Yeah. And we saw that early in the season when they beat, you know, Tennessee, LSU, and South Carolina within like a month of each other. And then just the injury bugs just kept piling up and they couldn't keep up. So those are the pleasant surprises. The other story I think that is going to stand out to me, obviously we talked about the two teams that played last night. We talked about Alabama. But it was really fun watching Coach O and USC there for a few weeks, you know. And, you know, we all know he didn't end up getting the job and it was right. A bummer. But, like, you just talked about a team that was having fun, playing great football, you know, playing for their coach, playing for themselves. That, to me, was probably one of my favorite stories of the year. Just kind of watching that team develop over time and really come together. You know, other guys that, you know, we all had opinions on, and, you know, he proved a lot of us wrong in the process. And so, I don't know, I mean, those are kind of what stand out to me. You know, I know we got to wrap pretty soon, but I'd just be curious really quick to hear kind of what your thoughts are on, you know, some of the stuff that sticks out to you as you look back.
Well, one of my favorite stories of the year was actually the one you just mentioned, USC. I thought was a fascinating story with the way that they parted ways with Lane Kiffin, leaving him at the airport, Coach O coming in and really rejuvenating that program. And then the way that he left, I thought was also pretty interesting because he had been saying all the right things when he was the interim coach, doing it all for the players. And then when they make the hire to bring in Steve Sarkisian, he pretty much packed his bags. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think it's tough. You know, you see both sides to it. You know, and I think his point was, I think it was an emotional thing. You know, I mean, yeah. Not having any insight, and I don't know any of this. I mean, it's all speculation. I haven't talked to anybody. I don't know if you have, and maybe you have better insight than I do. But, like, I think it was a very emotional situation. I think he looked at, you know, look, if you want to go out and get Kevin Sumlin, like, you want to go out and get, you know, somebody like that, you want to get somebody from the NFL, that's one thing. But when you bring in Steve Sarkisian, who is basically, you know, my equal under Pete Carroll, and you bring, you know, a guy that hasn't had an insane level of success. I mean, you know, Steve Sarkisian had his best year this year at 8-4. And, you know, I don't really blame Steve Sarkisian for that. He inherited a terrible program.
Right.
But, you know, the only reason I bring it up is I see why Coach O said that, but I also tend to agree with you in that if you're going to make this all about the kids and all that, then you can't walk out on them, you know, kind of in their time of need. You know, you say, you know, I'm planning on pursuing other opportunities. I will not be staying at USC, but I can't abandon these kids. And I do tend to agree with you on that. I don't know what the conversations were, but to me, I tend to agree with you. If you're going to say it's about the kids, you got to stick with them, you know?
Well, the USC story was certainly a big one. The other big one, as far as coaching is concerned, is the Texas job. Aaron, unfortunately, we're going to wrap this up now. We're going to shelve that for another day, maybe bring in a guest to talk a little bit more about Texas, hiring Charlie Strong. Should be a very interesting conversation. So hopefully maybe we can work that out and have you come on to talk a little bit about that as well at another time. All right?
Absolutely, Kevin. I appreciate you having me, man. And I look forward to doing this many, many, many times over the offseason. There will never be a shortage of stuff to talk about as we've learned over the last couple of years.
Absolutely. Aaron, before we wrap this up, remind people how they can follow you on Twitter and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N _TORRES. That's the best way to find me, find what I'm writing about, find what I'm talking about, you know, find whatever kind of conversations you and I are bickering about. But, yeah, no, it's always fun on Twitter. I try to be on there, respond as much as I can, and, you know, I hope people enjoyed the podcast. Look forward to talking college football with them for the next 8 months until we get another game.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Crystal Ball Run podcast. Again, I'm Kevin McGuire. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Crystal Ball Run and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CrystalBallRun. And, of course, the website is CrystalBallRun.com. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can check out our newsletter. We have a lot of stuff coming your way. Make sure you follow the content that we have coming up. We already have a ranking of the top 16 BCS championship games, ranking them from the worst to the best. Was this game the best? Not necessarily, but it's up there. Make sure you check that out. We have a lot of other stuff coming your way as well to get you through the offseason, because we know at Crystal Ball Run that there is no offseason for the college football fans that we have coming to check our site out, and we want to keep you guys as plugged in as we possibly can. So make sure you check it out. Let us know what you want to see. For Aaron Torres, again, I'm Kevin McGuire. Thank you for listening to this edition of the podcast. We'll talk to you very soon.